Grace Rocks Ecological Reserve is a small archipelago of islands off the southwestern tip of Canada, which boasts a wealth of wildlife from elephant seals and river otters to sea cucumbers and pink algae. The area is managed by Pearson College in British Columbia, and it attracts a lot of visitors. But countless pairs of feet trampling over the islands could threaten this fragile environment. So now biologist Gary Fletcher and others at the college have come up with an ingenious idea which, although not yet realised, would still allow students and tourists to visit the site, in a manner of speaking, but without causing any damage or disturbance to the wildlife. Hugh Warwick has been to Race Rocks to find out more, but first Gary Fletcher introduced him to some of the island's wildlife.
You can hear a low growl occasionally. That's the northern, or used to be called Stellar sea lion. And then you can hear the barking, which is the California sea lions. And right now, I suppose on the island, it's hard to count for this morning, but the numbers change every day, but there are around 1,000 right in this area and this morning.
Why have they come here? What's so special about these rocks for the sea lions?
Well, they come in September, end of August, early September, and they'll stay till the end of May. And they usually use this as an overwintering area. It's not a breeding colony for the sea lions. It is a breeding colony, however, for harbor seals, and there are a couple hundred of them in here in the summer. But they're here because there's so much food in this area.
So why are they making so much noise? Is it just because we're here standing a bit close to their colony?
No, they'll do this whether or not you're here. They're day and night sometimes. Sometimes they'll be all mostly peaceful and sleeping, but one moves and then that disrupts them and they all get into a little frenzy. But they're quite... They sound sort of in a panic, but they're not. That's their normal action. They're in between feeding bouts, but they do a lot of feeding here. And keep in mind, some of the large northern sea lions, they say, are a ton in weight. So
they're amazing.
They're very a lot of biomass when you look at that. But it's this way because right here, you see, we get the water that comes out of the Fraser River and all the fresh water from the Georgia Strait around Vancouver and down to Seattle, out of Puget Sound. And it comes by here, and also, twice a day, the tides are going one way and then the other. And the water comes in from the Pacific Ocean, so we have upwellings there that are on the Pacific Ocean that's, very productive for food in the water. Underwater, actually, the invertebrate life here, you don't see that this morning when you're standing up here, but the best part of this whole place is really underwater, and it's a fascinating world under there. The sea life, it's just... You can't touch any location that, is not either anemones or sea urchins or something in the location.
Wow, that sounds quite amazingly diverse. But one of the questions about, an island like this, it's beautiful. I would love to spend a day just sitting and looking at the wildlife.
Right.
Can you support a tourist industry on such a small piece of rock?
Well, I don't believe so. I think that typically with ecotourism, you can love something to death. And I think this is the perfect area that could face that fate. They absolutely take over the whole island, and we feel that we have to minimize the disturbance. It's a very fragile environment, and in the summer we have to keep people restricted to parts of the sidewalks, and you can see if people walk to the edge of the island, the sea lions jump in the water, so it's very easy to disturb them, and the same with the birds. So we even rope off some of the sidewalks where there are birds nesting.
So what are you going to do? You're going to make this just a very exclusive place for a few researchers? Or, how are you going to rationalize the use of this little rock?
Well, a few years ago I did an experiment, actually, with the Provincial Museum here, Royal British Columbia Museum. And that was to do a program called Underwater Safari. And we occupy this place for a week at this time of year, exactly. And we did 24 programs, hour-long programs that we broadcast live. We had a lot of volunteer efforts from local electronics companies, and we were able to beam this out of here to satellite and then link up with microwave links. It went across Canada. It went to an audience of several million, probably, eventually. And we made these programs free to the cable television companies and science centers across Canada. But in doing that, it made us think that, we can allow... a greater audience for this area, and we think we have an obligation to try to do that more. And now with internet technology, I believe that we could make this a virtual research center and education center through internet technology.
How do you mean?
Well, that tower there is an ideal spot for three or four robotically controlled cameras, where you in London could press the right button and swing in on the elephant seal colony.
You can actually drive cameras from,
sure,
from England.
Sure, robotically controlled is no problem. Here they, out in the forest industry, they use them to spot forest fires from tops of tall towers. Well, you could do the same thing here, where you could actually zoom in on parts of colonies. You could look at nesting bird colonies. The seals right here at the base of the colony, or the tower, have their young ones throughout the summer. You could follow whole stages of animal behavior, bird behavior. And then, of course, don't restrict it to the tower. Why can't you want to go underwater with it? We've done some underwater video work already here, and we can establish a bank of that. And actually, we could even have live transmission at certain times if someone was interested in getting into supporting that level of technology. And we know it's very expensive to do that, but we think it's an example of what you can do in many areas of the world. I mean, why do we have to go and trash a place just to satisfy people's desire to say they've been there and done that? I really feel that a spot like this, you can be here virtually with the right kind of technology. And there's a lot of technology out there that's waiting for a chance to do something that's really constructive.
Gary Fletcher with great plans for the future, and he was talking there to Hugh Warwick on Race Rocks, which could become the virtual reality nature reserve of the future.